This is the essential ingredient to your success as a Christian. Your success, your fruits as a godly man or woman, the effectiveness of your family, the effectiveness of our ministries, not our cleverness and our strategy, not these other even good things that we've been talking about. The essential ingredient, the thing that matters above all, is God's favor, that God is with us.
Welcome to the God-Centered Life with Josh Moody. We're new in a study in the book of Chronicles today, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, 4 through 9. We're calling this study the essential ingredient to all real success. Josh Moody is senior pastor of College Church located in Wheaton, Illinois. Well, we just took 25 seconds and boiled one whole sermon down, so there it is. But of course, we're going to make the case for that synopsis from Scripture and explore it further. Josh, success comes in so many different flavors these days, and I assume we're going to start with a freeing objective of defining what real success is.
It's important we get it right, isn't it? And so as we get into it, I find often people think of success is related to money or fame. And if that's what we mean by success, of course, then we're to resist it. But if we're talking about how to be effective in what we're doing as a Christian, and we will define as we go through the study, of course.
We will define all real success, but also serve up the essential ingredients to get there. Fantastic. Let's jump in. Here's Josh.
Jimmy Collins, the former president and COO of Chick-fil-A, once went to a well-known competitor's fast food restaurant. And as he was waiting, he waited some more and waited and waited. Meanwhile, he noticed the staff were all rushing around fulfilling multiple orders for the drive-through customers. Collins finally approached the manager and asked him what was going on, and the manager replied that the corporate office was timing the staff on how quickly they filled drive-through orders, so that was their top priority. And Collins then calmly asked the manager, "Are they measuring how quickly they serve customers in the restaurant?" Real success can be predicted and influenced by all sorts of things, including whether you're measuring the right things. And in life, as much as in business, success is desired by all, I suppose. How do you achieve it? We need, of course, to begin by defining success in biblical terms. And when I'm talking about success, what I mean is good and godly fruit. Listen to Richard Baxter, who long ago wrote this in The Reformed Pastor, his famous book. He said this, "It is a sign of a false self-seeking heart that can be content to be still doing and yet see no fruit of his labor. So I've observed that God seldom blesses any man's work so much as his whole heart is set upon the success of it." The right kind of success, godly good fruit, is something that we should desire. Now, as we get into this, let's remind ourselves of where we are in the book of Chronicles. The aim is to encourage God's people that God is faithful to his promise, and to exhort God's people to seek God, and to lead God's people to expect the fulfillment of God's promise in David's son, that is, in Jesus. Now, we've seen, haven't we, already, two aspects of this are being answered. How to turn pain into blessing. That was our first message. And then the second one was how trusting God wins your battle. The third this morning is the essential ingredient to all real success. What is that? And we're diving into the middle section of this book, which is bookended, the middle section, on two turns, deliberately in the text, to tell us that this middle section is essentially the ideal kingdom with David and Solomon, not finally ideal, but the kind of template of which Jesus is in the end the fulfillment. They had real success, and as it begins that story, it tells us what is the essential ingredient of real success. So let us ask ourselves some questions. Is the essential ingredient to success unity? Well, it begins to seem that way. The chronicler emphasizes in verse 4, all Israel. And if you read through the First and Second Chronicles, you would pick up pretty fast this is an often repeated phrase for the chronicler. In fact, I went ahead and for you counted the number of times in First and Second Chronicles the chronicler says, "All Israel," and the answer is 56 times. All Israel. It's a specific focus on unity. And as the chronicler looks back from the period after the exile to this stage, when God's will was being supremely realized, he over and again emphasizes the importance of all Israel. And what makes David, and to a lesser extent Solomon, so amazing was that it was all Israel. There was unity. God's people were together. They're one mind and one heart. The whole people. The kingdom became divided between north and south. The kingdom went into exile. Few came back from exile, even of the south. But at this stage, all Israel. And of course, that's a New Testament emphasis too, isn't it? Jesus in his teaching in John 17 tells us of the importance of unity as he prays for unity, that prayer being fulfilled and answered in Jesus' prayer, not in an organizational or administrative unity. You could have denominations that appear united on the outside, but are often deeply divided in reality, but a relational unity of spirit where we sense that we're one and together, the unity of Father, Son, and Spirit. Paul's argument in Ephesians 4 also tells us essentially the same sort of point. You are one, he says, because God has made you one in Christ. Therefore, make every effort to stay one. D.L. Moody, the great Chicago preacher, once said this: he had never seen a work blessed where there was not unity. So is it unity or is it leadership that is the essential ingredients of success? David took the stronghold of Zion. David is a great leader. David's leadership here is underlined in all sorts of ways in these few verses repeatedly. I think the most remarkable way it's underlined is verse 5. They basically say to David, "You will not come in here," and then nevertheless David took the stronghold of Zion. But the way it is in the original, it's even more blunt than that. They're basically saying, "There's no way you're going to win," and David wins. Like, he's a leader. He's a man's man. He can get it done. What a guy. Leadership. And of course, leadership is important, isn't it? David here galvanizes his team. They're all together with him. He's leading them. He establishes a base. Typical leadership. He's got his base, and it's even named after him, the city of David. And we're told, of course, he gets greater and greater, verse 9. And if you look back in your Bible, you can see in the first three verses, his leadership is emphasized again there. God established him as his shepherd and indeed his anointed one. And the chronicler even notoriously leaves out all the bad bits about David. He doesn't tell us all the bad bits. He emphasizes that for all David's failures, he was still great. And what is more, the type of the forever king, King Jesus, still to come, the antitype of which was David, the incomplete ideal leader, but still an ideal leader, definitely the great leader type of the Messiah. How we need leadership today. There's so much toxic leadership, bad leadership, bullying leadership. We need godly, humble leadership, what J. Oswald Sanders famously called spiritual leadership. How we need leadership. Is it leadership that is the secret to success? Or is it competition? There's a fascinating emphasis on competition here. David says, "Whoever strikes the Jebusites first shall be chief and leader," verse 6. David is deliberately stoking the fires of man-to-man competition. He's saying, if you get there, then you will be the chief. If you win, you'll be. He's making them have a competitive culture.
Further into our clarification of what exactly it means to be successful, but first a reminder that we are listener-supported, and if you're able to share a gift with us of any amount, we have a book we'd love to send your way. You can find out more about the book or just take care of partnering with us by going to our website, GodCenteredLife.org. We'd love to have your help as we continue to spread gospel-centered teaching to as many ears as possible. Back into our study now, though. Here's Josh.
I've always enjoyed the Rocky movies, and at one point Rocky says this: it's not how hard you hit that counts, it's how hard you can get hit and keep on going. Absolutely. We need that for our family life. We need it for our work life. We are in a spiritual battle. Healthy competition is an important tool, but is that the essential ingredient for success? Or is it celebrity? Look at this. It's called the City of David. What an extraordinary thing. We're so used to it, we don't think about it. Zion being called the City of David. Zion was a place name, according to one scholar, that comes from the root word meaning to protect, and another meaning tower on top of a mountain. So probably Zion means, originally, a fortified tower. And it referred to the Jebusite fortress. And then it referred to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and then Jerusalem as a whole, as a city. This Zion is called the City of David. How extraordinary. David here using the technique of his fame to advance a godly cause. Every great leader has used branding and celebrity to advance a good cause. But is that the essential ingredient for success? Whether you can market to yourself? Or is it delegation? Look, here's David, the great leader, but he delegated so much. Joab repaired the rest of the city. David did not do it all. Joab was involved in something very important. David oversaw some of it, but Joab's role was very significant. We're told he repaired the rest of the city. And repaired, according to one scholar called Selman, is a very unusual word here. It stems from after the exile, and you can compare it in the book of Nehemiah, where we're told that we should revive the stones, and it's also used as a term for reviving in the book of Ezra. And so it reflects the chronicler's hope that the post-exile city, despite disillusionment and deprivation, could be given a new lease of life. So here's Joab, and he's been tasked not just with repairing, but with reviving. This is a very important role he's been given. He's appointed chief and commander. David's delegating out. No leader can do it all themselves. Delegation is an art. The right people on the right seats on the bus. It's hard to do. Most successful people I've spoken to over the years would say that they have surrounded themselves with people more talented than they were. Carnegie put on his tombstone, "Here lies a man who knew how to enlist in his service better men than himself." Though, actually, that's something he said. It's not actually on his tombstone. But the point remains, delegation, the art of it, is so important for success. But is that the essential ingredient? No, it is not. The essential ingredient to success is the favor of God. Verse 9, the Lord of hosts was with him. That's why David became greater and greater. Literally, it is he walked or continued to walk, continued to become powerful and big. So David's influence is growing and growing. As he walks through life, the size of his impact continues to expand. Why? The Lord of hosts, or the Lord Almighty, is with him. That's why. Throughout Chronicles, we are told again and again of this critical element. God is active and real, and it is him who makes the difference. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 12, Abijah explains that victory will come because God is with us. In other words, David continued to become powerful because God was fighting the battle. What an important lesson. This is the essential ingredient to your success as a Christian. Your success, your fruit as a godly man or woman. The effectiveness of your family, the effectiveness of our ministries, not our cleverness and our strategy. Not these other even good things that we've been talking about. The essential ingredient, the thing that matters above all, is God's favor. That God is with us. And we sing about it, don't we? There's a song that goes like this. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I love that line. You may feel this morning you're surrounded. There's so many enemies, so much difficulty. But if you are a believer in Jesus, actually, you're surrounded by him. And that's what you need to be truly successful. Well, as we sang, abide with me. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. In life, in death, oh, Lord, abide with me. That is the secret to success. God being with us. God's favor. Well, of course, he's almighty. Then we'll be successful, defining success as godly and good fruit, as we did at the beginning. David became greater and greater. Why? The Lord of hosts was with him. But of course, the question we have to ask is, how do we have God's favor? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because the Bible gives the answer to it. Look at verse 2. How do we have God's favor? First, follow God's word. The Lord your God said to you. It's all initiated by God's word. This is why at College Church we're such enthusiasts for the Bible, for the word of God that does the work of God by the Spirit of God to the glory of God. The Lord your God said to you. This isn't some minority report. Doesn't matter if you have the Bible or not in church. Who cares? No, this is the secret to success. This is how you know God is with you, when you're obeying and following his word. Follow God's word. That's how to have God's favor with you. Or verse 3, we're told this. David made a covenant. So, you want God's favor? Keep God's covenant. Stand true to the promise you made to him at your baptism. When you gave your life to Jesus and said, Lord, you are Lord of my life, stick to that covenant. And today, make a new covenant with him. If you're a Christian, you've been slipping away for a while, and you've just been meandering off and making your life about money or alcohol or comfort and ease and trying to have a comfortable life, and you're sensing that God's favor is not with you, that you're not being truly successful. Well, how? Well, renew your covenant this morning. Come to him and say, Lord, I make a covenant with you. I make a renewed commitment to you. Well, ultimately, verse 3, they anointed David king over Israel. And David is the type of the anointed one, that is the Messiah. So we follow God's word, we keep God's covenant, and we trust God's king, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah Jesus. Put your trust in him. That's how. That's the way that your life is ultimately going to be successful. Not because you're so clever, not because you have the greatest strategy, not because you figured out how to delegate, not because you're such a great leader, but because you have God's favor. And how do you have God's favor? Trust God's word. Renew your covenant with him. Trust in the Messiah, Jesus. And then you'll have his favor with you. So here, friends, very simply this morning, the essential ingredient to all success. What is it? Is it unity? Well, unity is so important. We prize and treasure the unity we have as a congregation here at Cottage Church, and we seek to further it and to make peace when there is need to make peace. Unity matters. Is it leadership? We trust and honor our leaders. We're so grateful that we have them, elders and deacons and pastors. Leadership's important. Is it competition? We want to stir one another up to increasing Christ-likeness. Is it celebrity and fame? Well, we have mixed feelings about that, but David used it, and of course there have been great and godly people that God have raised up down through the years to have huge influence and fame, and if God raises you up in that way, pray for the kind of humility that you'll need. So that one of the most famous people I ever met, who was also a godly man, I asked myself as I met him, does he even know who he is? He had just such a weird humility, and because of that humility, God protected him. So if God makes you famous, pray that he'll make you humble to protect you. Is it delegation? The art of having, not just holding all the power in your own hands, but delegating it out to other people. No, these things can be significant. But the essential ingredient is that God is with us, his favor that comes through trusting in his King, Jesus, renewing your covenant commitment with him this morning, and following his word. So much of church life these days is marginalizing the Bible. Here it is. If we as a church want his favor, it comes down to us following his word, trusting his King, and renewing our covenant with him this morning. That's the essential ingredient, the favor of God. I love the Charlie Brown comic strip, and in that comic strip, there are frequent moments when snowball fights are about to commence with humorous consequences. One time, Linus came up to Lucy with a snowball aimed and ready to fire at Lucy's head. Lucy looked at Linus and said, "Here's a gentle reminder. If you throw that snowball at me, I'll break every bone in your body." And the carton moves on to the following frame, showing Linus dropping the snowball and saying, "Saved by a gentle reminder." Now, my friends, we wrongly define success materially, financially, in terms of fame. We can sometimes even wrongly conceive how to achieve success when we're even rightly defining success as loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. We can have a wrong way of going about it, even if you have the right definition. Here's a gentle reminder. It comes from God being with us. The great British preacher called John Stott was during his lifetime, was ranked as one of the most influential people in the world by Time magazine in 2005. He was extraordinary, was John Stott, prolific writer. As a preacher, he had crystal clarity. I can still hear in my head sermons I heard from him, just like this amazing ability to have just crystal clarity. And as a leader, he influenced many individuals and established many organizations. As a theologian, he shaped biblical Christianity away from high church expansion of the 19th century Oxford movement with all its smells and bells and stuff, and the liberal decay of higher criticism. He found a way to have a gospel, biblical, intelligent kind of Christianity. He was also oddly humble. I was once told one story about him that echoes of this humility. He had received a group of decorated bishops from Africa who traveled all the way to London just to hear the great John Stott give his lecture on what they needed to learn at that stage in their ministries. And so all these bishops had come to London. They'd sat at his feet, as it were, and listened to him teach. And after the morning of teaching from John Stott, the room where they were meeting at All Souls, the church that he pastored, had to be got ready for the next event that was taking place that afternoon. And the bishops, as they're standing around drinking coffee or something like that, were shocked to notice that after he'd given all these talks, there was John Stott with a broom just sweeping up the room quietly, getting it ready. The Lord was with him. There's no other explanation for it. And he can be with you too. Come to him. Put your trust in him. Bow before him. He is the essential ingredient to all real success. For ultimately, success is being with him and him being with us.
That's Josh Moody, and this is The God-Centered Life. The favor of God, the essential ingredient of success. A gentle reminder that our pursuit of success is wasted energy if we're wrongly defining success. Thanks for that, Josh. Appreciate that. We'll continue looking at the Book of Chronicles when we get together next time. Quick reminder that we would love to hear from you. Our website, godcenteredlife.org, has a contact page, and it means so much to us. Anytime you reach out and say, here's how I'm listening, here's where I'm listening, a podcast on the app, via radio, and here's the station, all of that just encourages us so much. We'd love for you to reach out and simply say hello. GodCenteredLife.org is that website. Next time we get together, the dangers of so close.
It's so easy, isn't it, to get inoculated against the truth in this very comfortable suburbia. But this will pass away. You can be so close, Christianized, but not saved.
Avoiding the wrong inoculations when we continue our study in the book of Chronicles. GodCenteredLife.org, resources for you. And this is your warm invitation to join us right here for The God-Centered Life with Josh Moody.